Obviously, we've known about this. We've heard about this. They've had many public discussions and forums trying to figure this thing out. A lot of discussion, a lot of controversy, a lot of heated discussion about the Salt Lake City Council, Mayor Becker, wanting to close golf courses in Salt Lake City. They have decided to close Glendale and the Jordan River Par 3. Wing Point will close on November 1st, but that was obviously given. We knew that there was a shelf life on Wing Point. The airport was going to take it back, and because they're going to have to charge like $600,000 or $700,000 a year for fair market value, we knew that was going to happen. But there's a lot of discussion, a lot of, like I said, controversy on closing Glendale Golf Course and Jordan River Par 3. So, Rick Graham, Director of Public Services of Salt Lake City, is kind enough to join us. Rick, how are you, my friend?
Rod, I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, great. Hey,
thanks for inviting me.
First of all, thank you, because I know, and I'm telling everybody, that you're the messenger that, you know, this is not Rick Graham closing the golf courses, so let's just get that out there. You're the messenger. I'm going to ask you some very poignant questions, and I know that you'll answer them to your best of your ability. I'm just relaying a lot of things that golfers have asked me and their frustration. So,
okay.
So we're going to just set that right there, because this has not been an easy decision. Golfers think they've been bamboozled and they haven't been told the truth. We'll start off on that premise. When this thing came down that they're going to close Glendale, they said Glendale's losing money. It's a financial decision. But now, with Mayor Becker proposing a bond of $125 or $150 million, when the golf courses were wanting $20 million over a 20-year plan, and then with that bond, they want to put a park, okay, and campgrounds and waterways and all that kind of stuff, with no chance of revenue. Upkeep is going to be somewhat similar, I would assume. That makes no financial sense, Rick, and that's the question I'm getting to. If they're saying, if they're crying wolf and saying it's all about financial, and then they're going to do this with no chance of revenue, how do you explain that to the folks out there when the bond is going to come up, especially the golfers, Rick?
Well, it is a tough question, and it's just really depends on how you want to look at this. When the decision was made, and again, this was a recommendation, this happened earlier this year, a recommendation from the city council, after their analysis came forward to the administration, and the recommendation was close Wing Point at the end of the season, close Glendale Golf Course, and also we had already previously closed the Par 3. The direction from the council was, the proposal is to close Glendale Golf Course, but let's conduct a public process and let's determine what is the best use for that land and find a funding source for it and make a plan for it. So we're just not closing it and have no plan, a viable plan that would work going forward. They also encouraged the administration to take advantage of repurposing both Glendale and the Par 3 for other public recreation uses, and proposed that even the mayor look at a bond that would even look at the greater needs of the city in terms of park, open space, and recreation needs. And so that was the decision that was made. The administration took that up, and what we have now is we've announced the proposal and a plan to bond for either $150 million or $125 million. And there's several different projects involved in that. In terms of making sense of yeah, we had $20+ million of improvements to put into the golf courses, and the bond is going to cost $150 million. And I think it's important for the citizens to know that in addition to the cost of the golf courses, and we want to be very transparent here of repurposing the golf courses and building these parks of 150 or 125, it's going to cost maintenance dollars to maintain those, and you can't use bond money to maintain. So there's another few million dollars that are going to be required there if the bond goes through as proposed by the mayor. But the issue really goes beyond making sense just exchanging money from the public, residents who vote for a tax increase, and saving and preserving the golf courses. I guess that our elected officials could have come forward and said, okay, we're just going to bond for $20 million to fix all the golf courses.
Which would, in my math head, which would have cost about $1, according to your figures that you've got from, the $125, $150 million bond, it would have cost taxpayers $1.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, continue.
I trust your math on
and,
that.
I did that because the $125 million or $150 million bond will cost $5 or $6, depending on which one they use, over the 20-year life of the bond.
Yeah.
And so I'm just deducting half of that and then another half. That will get to $20 million. And that's, so that just brings it down to $1 instead of $5 or $6. Okay, continue.
Okay, continue. I'll continue. Okay, so they could have done that. The problem with golf isn't all just resting on the fact that we had $20 million of deferred maintenance. That problem has been building for years. The other problem with golf is it's not sustainable with the 7.5 golf courses that we have in the city. Yeah, go put the money into it, improve it, but the models that we have are not showing that there's enough play to even sustain those. So it's a little more than just fixing the golf courses. It's what is a financial plan that's viable for the city to sustain those golf courses. And that model, it doesn't work. We have an overabundance of golf courses, particularly here in the city. We don't have the play in this market to continue to sustain those. Even if you put $20 million into fixing holes and tees and greens and cartways and fixing driving ranges and the clubhouses and things like that, we have to look at the long range and how can all of these courses be sustainable. So it didn't work from our analysis. It didn't work from the council's analysis. It didn't work for the analysis for the consultants as well. So the easy thing is to say, yeah, just put in the money and build it, have the taxpayers pay for it, but we still have a business model for golf that isn't going to be sustainable in the long run. So the decision was made, we've got to make some very difficult decisions here in how to get golf into a sustainable position in the long term, and they were tough choices, and also what can we do with opportunities of land to really create a long-term recreation benefit for the citizens that's going to last for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And so this bond is helping to do that, went to the public, got input, prioritized those things, those ideas and recommendations that came from the public, and that's what this is all about, an opportunity that we have land, and to what can we do to really create a park and recreation and open space amenity, or in this case, amenities in the plural, that is going to benefit the residents for years and years and years and years to come. It's something like, some time ago, a decision was made to build Sugar House Park. Well, there's a big piece of land. At that time, I'm sure the elected officials thought, here is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have 120 or whatever acres it is in Sugar House. Let's turn it into a park. And look what legacy that decision has made and provided for that community for the last 70 years. That type of thinking, I think, is going into this is take advantage of what can be from a difficult situation.
Okay, but there wasn't already an existing property, a revenue source at Sugar House Park like there is at Glendale. That would be the opposite side of that. Now, if that's the case, okay, and again, we don't want to see any golf courses close, but if that's the case, why are you closing a golf course that is making money?
Well, you have to look at where the opportunities lie and what's the best advantage and opportunity to produce a regional long-term park and recreation benefit. And some golf courses, you could say, well, why not this golf course or why not that golf course? The opportunity that Glendale presents is the greatest opportunity to have a very diversified and very large space that can be used for a variety of public purposes. So, does Glendale make money? Yes, in the past, Glendale has made money. It's projected to make a marginal profit revenue over operation expense this year. It always hasn't been that case, but there have been years where it hasn't. But that's not the argument. It's not made on what it has been and what it is. It's the best opportunity to develop another space for the future of Salt Lake City residents.
Talking with Rick Graham, Director of Public Services for Salt Lake City. Okay, so what is going to get this out in the open? This is not a financial decision. Let's just call it what it is.
It's not a financial decision. Absolutely, there's a part of financial decision because closing Glendale is going to actually produce revenue that can be put back into the golf fund. The city will purchase from the golf fund the value of the 150 acres of the Glendale property at its open space value. That at this time is estimated to be about $2 million. So the golf fund, by closing it and repurposing it for another public purpose, is going to generate another $2 million for the golf fund that can be used in the other golf courses to make improvements.
Who makes that decision, what that fair property, because basically the same acreage at Wing Point is more than that, $700,000 a year.
Well, that's if it's put into a commercial use.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right. I got you.
Property,
you I got the, you.
It's a different use.
Okay.
The Glendale property has to be valued open space zoning, and so that's going to have a lower value. Okay. The airport will get zoned differently, and it can command a higher rate of value.
Well, the reason I say it's not a financial decision, even though that's what has been claimed previously by this administration, is that it makes no financial sense to put $125, $150 million into a place that's already there that's making a marginal revenue, and that thing that you're going to change it with has no chance of revenue. That's why I'm saying this is not a financial decision, because if it is and you're running a business this way, Rick, and again, I'm not pointing this at you, okay? Again, you would go broke in a hurry.
Well, that's what's happened, Rod. This is somewhat of a business decision. We have a set of assets, a golf assets. We don't have enough play to sustain those assets in the package it is right now. And as a business decision, we had to make some decisions. And we looked at what is the best public value for the assets. And it just so happens that Glendale was determined to have the greatest public value in terms of a repurposing. So it is a business decision. And it is, again, as I repeat, it is somewhat about revenue, because the golf course will close. It will generate revenue for the rest of the golf fund. So there is a financial component to this, okay, where golf benefits.
Now, what do you say when they put so much money in downtown Salt Lake to control the transient population in Pioneer Park? Okay. So now, if they go and put a park that's open 24 hours a day with campgrounds in an industrial area, which Glendale is, how are you going to stop the transients from moving out there and trying to live in that park? Which I'm you guys have discussed.
Yeah, absolutely. We've discussed this and talked about, okay, what types of uses and what are the challenges going to be to that. First of all, let me clear up. Glendale is not going to be turned into a campground. There's not going to be, at least in any discussion, in any model that's being looked at right now, that there is going to be on-site camping there. But having said that, it's going to be open to a variety of activities. It's going to be like a large regional park. And we're going to manage that asset like we manage all of our other park assets, like Liberty Park, which is 100 acres, like Sugar House Park, which is 100 acres, like the Jordan River Trailway, which runs, it's very narrow, but it runs miles. You provide a maintenance, you provide a security and oversight program there. If we do Glendale correctly and build a model that has a diversity of activities, it's going to be a heavily used activity area where there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of eyes. It's not going to be a barren space with a fence around it and no one can get into it. It's going to be a very active area, and activity will tend to drive and keep bad types of activities away. Mm-hmm. Now, at nighttime and things like that, well, that's, you know, other challenges. So we have that in our park system right now, and we'll deal with it like we are in other areas.
Rick Graham, Director of Public Services for Salt Lake City. Now, Rick, in your model, in your plan for this park, mm-hmm, how many visitors do you expect on a normal basis per year to be there? Have you figured that out compared to other places?
Well, we haven't modeled that out to determine what that could be, Rod, because we're still very much in the conceptual design phase, and there's still discussion of what types of design elements are going to be in it, be available there. And until we get into deciding, is there going to be an amphitheater with a shell? Is there going to be frisbee golf? Is there going to be a playground? Is there going to be a cycle track? Is there going to be mountain and type of bike terrain? Is there going to be a boathouse where you can rent boats and kayaks and paddle boards and things like that? Until we model those things out and decide what's going to go in, it's very difficult to put a number in it for me to answer that question of a number of people, how many people are going to be there. But with the diversity of activities that would invite people there every day, we suspect that we're going to see, activity, maybe not like Liberty Park, because Liberty Park is just so diverse, but large numbers of people.
This may be an unfair question to throw on you right now, but do you know how many people Liberty or Sugar House packs in a year?
I absolutely don't know.
Is it over 100,000?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes. Okay. Well, I can see that then. To be fair, I can see that. But
we'll have at Liberty Park for the 24th of July. We'll have 30,000 people on one day.
Well, sure, I understand that, but you could also you could also do that on a golf course and charge $10 and make money too as well. And see, that's one of my things, that this hasn't been promoted, and to bring outside golfers in like a lot of other places. And or having concerts on the golf course like the parks do, and see, that could bring in an extra a lot of money, but that's never even been brought up or never even tried or anything like that. Talons Cove has done it. I know Thanksgiving Point has done it to an extent, but here's my thought, Rick. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is a lot of golfers. Okay. Now I know you like to golf too, and I know that Again, you're the messenger, and this is your job to bring it out in the open, okay?
Yeah.
But here is my opinion, and other golfers as well, okay, that the whole public forum that they had was just a facade, because Mayor Becker and the city council wanted to get rid of the golf course and put in some sort of a park. That's the feeling, because I never got one return call when I said, hey, we have a plan, Mayor Becker. Nobody wanted to know any plans. That's my opinion, Rick, and I could be far off, and I know that you'll disagree with me on that, but that's the way we feel as golfers. And when I don't get when a media guy does not get a return call, even a courtesy, say he's not taking personal calls, okay, or a city council, that a media guy that has a plan, they didn't want to hear the plan, Rick. Okay? That's where we're coming from as a golf community.
Yeah.
And I know that you can appreciate that. And I'm speaking for them, because one caller that we had before you came on said they went on the website and, for the complaints or for the thoughts and all that kind of stuff, that the against the golf course for the parks was out in the open, and then you had to go find a little box somewhere to voice your displeasure. I haven't looked on your website. I don't know. That's what a caller said. So my point here, Rick, is that I don't think this city council and Mayor Becker had any inkling, had any ambition to keep these golf courses. They wanted a park, and they were going to get it no matter what. That's my opinion. I know you're going to disagree with me, Rick, but that's the frustration from the golfers that they wanted me to send to you.
Okay.
So well, I know you can't say anything about that, Rick, because
I'd be happy to comment about that. I really don't know what to say about why you didn't get a return call and things like that. But in terms of process and plans and ideas and suggestions of what to do, I will, Rod, respectfully disagree with what you're saying, that this was just a strategy to come up with money to build a big park. Mm-hmm. This issue about golf courses and the condition of the fund and ways in which strategies and how to change that, has been going on for over 3 years.
Yeah.
We have had discussions in front of the city council, open public discussions about ideas, about partnerships, about building facilities, and coming up with strategies. Disc golf on the same tees as regular golf, kick golf, all sorts of ideas, partnerships, marketing ideas, growth of programs and play for 3 years. And it has, we did not stumble across this problem just a year ago when a decision was made. We've been working on it. We've had over three different citizen groups working on it. And so the idea was, let's hopefully find a solution to the problem. We couldn't find one. The financial, the long-term viability issue is so great. When it came down, it says, okay, if we have to close the course, what are we going to do with it?
Yeah.
That's what drove the decision. We're not going to bulldoze it and turn it into houses. It's green space. What can we do in the public realm to produce another green space to benefit or meet a need? We have to give one up in golf. Let's replace it with a great public need. And so we've gone through that process, and what comes up is a regional park activity, a regional park development for Glendale, and a smaller development for the Rose Park, Par 3, and all these other things. It has to be paid for. We're going to ask the public if they want to support it. If they do, then we move ahead. If the public doesn't support a bond, no one's ramming this down people's throat. They all get to go to the voting box and vote. Then we'll look at, if it doesn't get authorized, then we'll look at another plan and see what we do.
Yeah.
But to say that this was all, that's just not the case. There was a great deal of thought both on the council and on the administration side of what do we do. But when we have it, what do we do that produces the best benefit?
I know this has been going even longer than 3 years with the whole, you know, the economy and all that. But, Rick, like you, I respectfully disagree.
Okay.
You know,
the
because
good thing about this, Rod, is we're still okay with having a disagreement.
Well, absolutely, you know, because this has nothing to do with you or me. This is just what is happening, and you've got your job to do, and I've got my job to do.
Yeah.
But I just happen to be passionate about it because I'm a golfer, and my friends are frustrated. And so, and you know what? I do appreciate you coming on here. I know we've taken a lot of your time. But what are you going to do about secondary water? Are you going to put in a pump for Glendale and take it out of the Jordan River to use secondary water instead of culinary water?
Yes, quickly. Right now, secondary water is already funded and will be moving into both Glendale and Rose Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be using Jordan River water and perhaps some well water at Glendale for that. So that's already funded. It's in the plan, and that will start progressing later on in the fall. On the bond, also, and this is another golf benefit, secondary water, bonding, using city money, not golf money, resident money, to provide secondary water for both Nibley and for Forestdale. So if the bond passes, we will be putting in secondary water at both Nibley and Glendale as well. Not Glendale, but Forestdale as well.
Now, my point on that, if you've bonded that already, why can't we just put this off a while and see if that water not as much cost for water will help bring money into that place? Why can't we just say, okay, you've already got the water funded for secondary water. Why can't we just do that? Let's see how the financial plays out with the cost of water. And then if it still doesn't make a big dent, then we can go upon this bond.
Well, I will say that we have run models on that. We've done financial models on that. What can be saved with secondary at all three of the four of those courses, and it still doesn't produce the revenue we need. So, according to our models and according to our estimates, so we have, you know, looked into the numbers of that. It still doesn't work. But you certainly have an alternative to that. But the numbers don't foot the way we've looked at it.
Well, Rick, my plan was to have the maintenance taken care of, which would have been free of charge at Glendale or a couple other city courses.
Yeah.
Okay.
But general fund pay for that? Yeah.
No.
Oh, you have a plan to have.
I had a plan that it would not cost for maintenance as far as labor.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But the mayor and his personal assistant not interested in hearing a plan. So anyway, I had to get that out, Rick. Come on.
Good.
Rick, appreciate you. And I know this, you know, you being the one that has to be out in front explaining all that, you know, a lot of people saying, you know, darn it, but it's not you. We understand that. Yeah. And you know we love you. And yeah. we know that it's a tough job that you've got to do because you've got a lot of people upset in the golf community. But, you know, I really do appreciate you coming on and taking all my questions and explaining what you can. Again, I really appreciate that.
Okay.
And even though I don't agree with some, Rick, you know, and I don't think you'll convince me otherwise, but I'm not going to convince you otherwise either. So
I think that's the case. Yeah,
yeah, but that's okay. But you enlightened me on a couple of things that I did not know about, and that's what I wanted you on for. So, so golfers, okay, that's what it is from Rick Graham. If you see Rick saying, "Hey, thanks for your efforts," you know, even though we don't agree with you, you know what? If I see you out on the golf course, you can buy a Diet Coke. How about that?
I'll do that. And like I said before, Rod, I'm always happy to come on. Thanks for providing this forum. And I will always try to do my best to share the information that from our end, and we'll take it from there. But please invite me back.
Okay, Rick, you always have, and appreciate you, buddy.
Okay, thank you, Rod.